Produced by Women About Women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Hello, everyone. Time for Powerful Women Let's Talk. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Jennifer Moss, and it is a pleasure to bring you today's powerful woman, Jill Hinton Wolfe. She's Grand Valley State University's first military and veteran resource manager. She previously served as a mentor for GVSU's Michigan Veterans Entrepreneur Lab, MVE Lab, and is a founding executive committee member of GVSU's Veterans Alumni Association. Previously, she's worked as a seasoned corporate marketing professional, an adjunct professor in advertising and PR, an entrepreneur, and as a military intelligence soldier for the U.S. Army. We're so glad to welcome you, Jill Wolfe, to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm really excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. I want a little bit more about Jill just before we start our conversation. So in 2021, Jill was awarded the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency's Veteran Educational Advocate of the Year Award and is a 2022 MIRA Fellow. She serves as Vice President of the Kent County Veterans Services Advisory Board and is on the Michigan Hall of Heroes Board, also a lifetime member of the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the Women Veterans Alliance. And you and your hubby live here, Grand Rapids, five kids, and you're also active in the Legally Blind community. So again, welcome, Jill. So nice to have you here.
Thank you.
So you have powerful woman written all over you and everything that you do. First, let's start with talking about your work at Grand Valley State University's the first military and veteran resource manager. That shows a big commitment and support to military-connected students, dependents as well, right?
Yes. I took the job in July 2020, so right in the middle of the pandemic. And I think it really shows the commitment of President Mantella to this population of students that we didn't really have a military program to speak of at Grand Valley before that. I was an undergrad at Grand Valley way back in, I started in 1994 and then did 3 years in the military before coming back and finishing my degree. And when I came back after the Army, I thought I was the only veteran on campus. And we've since changed that. And we now have an incredible community of students, faculty, and staff, all who have served in the military, as well as a large contingency of dependents, so spouses and kids who are also in their own way sort of served in the military. So it's a huge commitment. We have two veterans lounges at Grand Valley, which I'm not sure any other state school or private school in Michigan could say. So there's a great commitment both from the community and the senior leadership team at Grand Valley to support these incredible community.
Absolutely. And as a resource manager and having those the lounges and the whole unit, what is it that the type of support that you provide to the campus?
Right. So I sort of support them from the beginning when they're looking at Grand Valley, even as coming back to school. It's a scary thing for a lot of veterans, right? Mm-hmm. They've been in a certain environment where it's very hierarchical. We're very clear on who's in charge, what we're doing. The mission is very clear, usually when you're in the military. So when they get out, a lot of them aren't quite sure, you know, how to make that transition to a university setting where everything is kind of up to you, right? You no longer have somebody telling you what clothes to wear, where to show up, or how to work out, or where you're going to eat, and all that stuff. So it's a big transition. So they start with the application. I can help them everything through that to applying for their GI Bill and benefits, getting them enrolled, making sure that they have everything they need to be successful at the university. So often it's, you know, talking with faculty members and staff about what it means to be, you know, former military, and, you know, also helping them with scholarships, emergency funds, applying for leadership positions, helping them decide which major to be in. Like, it's just, I'm the single point of contact for these mm-hmm. students, and I'm not always the one that ends up eventually helping them, but I know where to point them. So I'm basically creating a community here where they feel supported. There does tend to be a sort of imposter syndrome with a lot of veterans coming to school. I don't belong here. I'm older than everybody else. So just creating an environment where they feel like they're valued and that they can learn here without barriers that's my job in a nutshell.
And I was going to say, in some cases, it might even be just convincing someone, hey, take the leap, come to Grand Valley, come to school and take up your education now.
Right. I was just telling an Air Force vet yesterday. He said, you know, I've been working on and off different places and I've been thinking about my degree, but, you know, maybe now is the time. And it's my job to say now is absolutely the time. Mm-hmm. And if whatever you're worried about, we can work through it together. We can figure that out. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it is going to be worth it. So that's, I love having those conversations with students.
Wonderful. And so, of course, you have quite the accomplished career. You're here at Grand Valley now at the Resource Center, but you are, of course, are a veteran here, as well as having done so many other things that we talked about at the top of the show. So are you enjoying your journey?
You know, I've gotten to play all sorts of roles. When I came back from the Army, I got my degree in advertising and PR from Grand Valley, and then went out and worked in the corporate world for 10, 15 years. And I loved that, and it taught me a ton about, you know, working in the corporate world, working in an organization. But I had always wanted to start my own business. And so I took that journey, which was amazing. I still miss a big part of, you know.
What'd you do?
So I did a couple of different things. I started with a passion project, which is still around today, called Outdoor Book Club, which is taking women outdoors and doing backpacking trips, hiking, kayaking, mm-hmm. and bringing a book along that we discuss the themes and the
An
ideas.
An on-the-road book club.
Yeah,
of
very
sorts.
Much. Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
It
like
was
that.
Very cool. And from that, a sort of more corporate initiative came out where I was actually running corporate scavenger hunts. So mm-hmm. we worked with companies like Nike and Home Depot and Pfizer and really found out what their corporate values and their products were and created all these fun challenges for their teams, their employees to go out and, you know, implement them into pictures and videos. And as you can imagine, that all went away high-fiving strangers when COVID hit. And that just happened to be the exact time that this position opened up. And I'll tell you, it'll be 2 years in July since I've had this position, and I have never been happier at work. Like, this job has so much meaning and purpose for me, and I get to one day work with, again, a student vet who's not sure about whether he wants to go back to school. And these are incredible students, and we can talk more about that in a little bit, but I get to work with them one day, and the next day I'm working with the senior leadership team and President Mantella to figure out how we can do even more to help these students. So it's an incredible job. I love it.
So the exciting journey continues.
Absolutely.
And really on the right track here, too. So as we talk about powerful women, you know, you assist veterans through the volunteer involvement and the mentorship for all women veterans at WINC, W-I-N-C?
Yes, I'm very active in that organization.
Yep. So what's your work there?
So they're a group of women. I think WINC originally stood for Women in Combat, but mm-hmm. they felt that it was a little bit exclusionary because maybe in some ways we've all been in combat, right. if not Absolutely. Like actually in the... out in the, you know, the war zone. And so working with them, there's a lot of women out there that, a lot of women vets are really struggling, that mm-hmm. that transition out of the military was very difficult for them. I think for women in particular, we're already sort of conditioned to give so much of ourselves mm-hmm. to the mission, whether that mission is our family or our jobs. And the military just completely reinforces that. And I will say that women veterans too, a lot of times we can feel sort of invisible, right? When you think of a veteran, you think of maybe the old guy in the hat or a big guy with a beard and tattoos. You don't often think of a female.
You but feel the, excluded, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know,
just off to the side sort of? Or?
Yeah, I remember one time parking in a CVS parking lot and I had a veteran's plates and an older gentleman said, hey, you know, did your husband serve?
And I'm like, Yeah, I knew you were going to go.
Yeah, that was me. And these are incredible women, like the Absolutely. Guts that they have shown to sign up for military service and to swear to protect their country and to do this work in a environment that often, let's face it, can be kind of some toxic masculinity there. These are incredible women and they deserve to be held up and given the tools they need to be successful. But unfortunately, it doesn't always happen, either because they feel they don't deserve it or just the society just not seeing women veterans mm-hmm. in the same way that we see male veterans.
So you continue on with the mentorship there and help out.
Absolutely.
With that.
Especially when it comes to like starting businesses and stuff. I love women veteran entrepreneurs. They are my favorite people in the whole mm-hmm. world.
And you've been down that road yourself. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. So let's look at the even more personal side. So as you travel and have traveled your career's path and on your journey, have there been any as we talk about that, you just mentioned one actually, barriers that you've encountered along your career's path and, you know, your life's path.
Right. I think definitely my military service, sometimes people don't always know what to do with that. Oh, you don't look like you've been in the Army, that kind of thing. I think there's always that self-doubt too. Like, no matter what you've done, you're always sort of worrying about the future. And so those barriers have been difficult as I try to show up in the world in a way that people can, you know, I hope that the students that I work with look to me as an example of what's possible, because I was in their shoes, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So that's been a barrier. I also, in 2017, was diagnosed with a rare genetic disease that is basically taking away my eyesight and probably will take away all of it. Right now, I have about 12 to 15% of it. And so, yeah, that's been a curveball that life threw that I was not expecting and that I've had to sort of navigate. And I will say that, you know, for all those women out there that are struggling with something that just seems unsurmountable, that you have it within you to be able to deal with this, but you can't do it alone, right? We didn't do it alone in the Army. We had medics and truck drivers and cooks supporting our mission. You can't do it either alone. And I will tell women veterans and people also struggling with vision loss, reaching out and finding those people that you can trust and depend on and being willing to be vulnerable about that will get you well on your journey to being able to meet your goals and do things that you never thought you would be able to do.
I would say everyone needs that village, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone
needs a village. We talk about those obstacles, those barriers. So what did it kind of take for you to find your own voice in all of that? Because, you know, sometimes that takes a minute too, because we do encounter things that are challenging. And you like you said, sometimes you can feel invisible and depending on what walk of life or whatever's happening in your world individually. How did you find your own voice to be comfortable in your own skin, so to speak?
For me, I've always, first of all, been really uncomfortable with emotional pain. So I can only sit and wallow for so long before I have to do something. Luckily, for a lot of people, that outlet often ends up being addiction. And for me, fortunately, I haven't had that, but I certainly have family members and friends that have struggled with it. And I understand that. I'll say one of the scariest, most embarrassing things I ever had to do was pick up a cane. I felt like I could see but couldn't see, but I was running into things, and I would have to explain to people after the fact, after I'd knocked things over. And so for me, the decision to pick up a cane and just tell the whole world that I couldn't see was the single most embarrassing and scary thing I ever had to do in my life. But once I did it and owned it and saw that it wasn't that bad, then I felt like I could kind of do anything after that. So I guess, like, in a nutshell, it's practicing being brave, even though you don't necessarily feel brave, and just practicing it over and over again until suddenly it's just no big deal and you've done it.
It's kind of conquering that fear and facing it head on is kind of what you did. Wow, that's amazing. So as you look at, with all your work at Grand Valley and beyond, I know you encounter a lot of people, you work with a lot of people, you've got a couple of teams that you work with. What type of leadership skills do you look for in those that you work with, perhaps even those you mentor, that kind of thing?
Sure. There's a great book out by a Navy SEAL, Jocko Willinks, I think is his name, and it's called Extreme Ownership. And it's a little bit on the sort of tough military side, but I love the idea of whatever is happening, whether it's good or bad, but, you know, mostly this applies when bad things are happening, is you take ownership for it, right? Like, you may not have been the one to cause the problem, but you need to be the one to take responsibility and fix it. So I look for people that have that similar sort of way of looking at the world, that, you know, I may not have caused climate change, I may not have caused, you know, racial inequity, but I'm here to be part of the solution. So I really look for people that are interested in doing that work. I'll also say I love curious people. So people that want to ask questions and want to go a little bit deeper and are just interested in all sorts of different kinds of things. I think that that's a really good combination in a leader.
How have you managed, because you're very busy, you've done and have accomplished quite a lot, how do you manage your work-life balance? What does that look like? Because you've got 5 kids. So right there, that's a lot.
Yeah, so 3 of them are bonus kids, and 2 of them are my own. The oldest is 23 and the youngest is 16. And I will tell you, there's nothing like stepkids to hold a mirror up to, you know, what you're doing to make you really sort of come face to face with where you might have some work to do. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I find the most beneficial as I'm trying to navigate this world and make big changes and impact people is to get outside. The Outdoor Book Club was kind of that was my sort of way of bringing that to more people. So being on the water, I love sleeping outdoors. I love hiking. I don't ride my mountain bike as much as I used to, but we got a tandem bicycle. Mm-hmm. So I always use that tandem as sort of an explanation of how I may not be able to do everything that I used to do in the mm-hmm. exact same way, but I find ways to continue to be outdoors and do the things that I love. So yeah, being outside is just... Yeah, that's how I make it day to day.
And Hannah helps you out too. Hannah's here. You can't see Hannah, but Hannah's over there.
Yeah, my German Shepherd, Hannah, is she loves being outside too. So she's up for anything, which is great.
That is awesome. So my favorite question, what makes you laugh? Because you have a buoyant personality, very serious but committed. So what do you guys, what makes you laugh at the heart of it all?
It's weird. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think my husband and I are actually turning into my parents because I think my husband is hilarious. And it's funny. Our kids don't necessarily think he's hilarious.
Of course they don't. Mine don't either. I get it. Yeah. But we have a good crack. We laugh a lot. So yeah.
Yeah. He makes me laugh every single day, and we have so much fun together. But I, you know, my kids make me laugh too. My daughter, the 23-year-old, is in Syracuse. And so getting to talk to her on the phone, she's always got something, some observation or some funny thing. She's got a very dry sense of humor that just cracks me up. So yeah, my family, absolutely.
When you say you're turning into your parents, you're not like that commercial, are you? You know, where you're going to the store and then you're like picking out and doing the different things.
Yeah, like, yeah, have the you know, the joy signs and yeah, all that stuff. No, not quite that bad. But as far as like, my mother thought my father was hilarious and we thought he was kind of lame. And mm-hmm. so yeah, in that sense, I'm absolutely
following in
into
those
my
footsteps.
Parents.
So tell me, in this world that we live in today, what do you, you know, we're always looking for some sort of word of encouragement. You provide that a lot, clearly, through the Resource Center and a lot of your work. But do you by chance have maybe a favorite saying, quote, or something that you use yourself that encourages you or that you use to encourage others?
I do. And I use this all the time, and it's been so helpful for me. And that's the quote that if the bus doesn't stop at your station, it's not your bus. This idea that there are opportunities that arise and we try, you know, maybe mm-hmm. we apply for that scholarship or we apply for that job or we try a new sport. And if that doesn't work out, it doesn't say anything about you. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's probably just means that you need to try something else. And so not to take these kinds of things too personally and just continue to look for your bus, because your bus is going to come up very, very soon and yep. you don't want to miss it. So
absolutely, just keep waiting, right? Mm-hmm. Jill Hinton Wolf, thank you so much for joining us today on Powerful Women Let's Talk. I so appreciate this conversation.
Thank you. It was absolutely my pleasure to be here.
And thank you, of course, for joining us for another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss. Do enjoy the day.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.